Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on this beautiful Tuesday in December, it's Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. Tuesday Hi. In December.
Tuesdays in December.
It's better than Mondays in November.
Better than Sundays in October.
Thursdays in January blow. Come see the Countess. I hate Bethany Frankel. Join me.
What's the matter? What's happening? What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Watch What Crappens. It is our Southern Hospitality Day, the day where we recap the greatest show on Bravo right now that people are not watching. I guess Tuesdays or Monday nights. When was Real Girlfriends in Paris? Those were our Tuesday nights. Whatever. The point is, I was going to try to draw a parallel between the two shows. I am not going to do that. The point is that Southern Hospitality is really hilarious. People should be watching it.
The parallels are there two great shows that no one's watching, you know?
Yeah. Those are the
Bravo
parallels.
People take a lot of convincing, you know, which is funny because I feel like everyone else looks at Bravo people, like non-Bravo people look at Bravo people like we're just trash and we watch trash and we roll around in trash. But we're actually very discerning people. We're like, I'm not watching that. I will not watch another VPR wannabe show. Like, we're actually very snobby in our own little world.
We really are. I know I certainly am. Like, because I actually think that Bravo reality TV is very well produced. So I'm actually very snobby also about other reality shows now. Like, I can't watch a reality show on E! Or TLC because I just am like, this is just like shitty. But anyway, we are drawn to good content almost like a moth to a flame. Wouldn't you say that, Ronnie? A moth to a flame.
Oh.
What I'm trying to say is that Ronnie's doing the moth tonight, by the way, people in Austin.
I'm thinking of like Grace Lilly, you know?
I'm trying to give you a segue promote.
What is Grace Lilly drawn to? Yes, I'm doing the moth tonight. I'm so scared. They're all so serious and good. I mean, they're so good. They're also like, how to say it? They're just like so grounded and deep in their, like their presence, you know? And then I'm up there like, I had a Facebook post and that's how I feel, but it's really cool to be doing it, you know? So we'll see how that goes. But I'm so grateful that they have me. And what a huge fucking show. My God, they're in 40 cities. I mean, I knew The Moth was great. We love The Moth, but geez, I mean, it's a woman owned, run, directed company. I mean, they're badasses, you know. I feel hyper insecure in there, but in a good way. Like, they let me in. They probably won't keep me in, but they let me in, and I haven't been cut yet. I was expecting to get a Lorne Michaels last minute cut, you know, like they sound SNL. Lorne Michaels is like, not working, as you're walking down the hall to do the sketch. So that hasn't happened yet.
But well, they have good taste, guys. So of course they're not going to cut you. So normally I would say everyone go see Ronnie, but I think you said that the show actually has sold out. So mazel tov on that. But if there are some random tickets that become available, you all better get them to see Mr. Rondell Karam doing his storytelling.
Spoiler alert, guess what I'm really going to do? I pretended I had one story, but I'm really going to go in there and be like, there was a girl. A girl with sparkle and shine that she had on her own. A girl with a mom with a big cat that looked like a little dog. A girl named Grace Lilly.
She was named after an attribute and a flower. So but we'll get to Grace Lilly in one second. I do want to, as long as you're talking about also live shows, you know, Watch What Crappens, we're known for live shows. At least I like to think we are. And we had a tremendous tour, our 10th anniversary tour, our Hunky Dory tour back earlier this year, which was great. And we are going to go on tour again, and we will be making an official announcement with all the cities, etc., in the first week of January. So for people asking, finally. Are we going back on tour? The answer is a resounding yes. And all the details will be the first week of January. We're very excited.
Yes.
And we may just make sure that you're tuning in and make sure you're following our social media so that we don't miss it. Don't miss it for 1 second. Because what always makes me so bummed out is when I see people tweet and they're like, hey, when are you coming to Atlanta? And I'll be like, oh, we actually just were there this past week. And like, oh, I didn't know. Like, that's such a bummer, you know? So follow us at Watch What Crappens. That's on Instagram or at What Crappens on Twitter. And that way you can really be up to date because you know I will certainly be posting a million things. Be like, we're on tour. So
once we announce it, we'll never shut the hell up about it. But
yeah, I don't do it to be annoying, but I really do it because, you know, you never know when someone's going to read something. And so sometimes, yeah, because if someone doesn't see it, they don't see it, and then they find out after the fact, and that sucks. So
These gays are trying to murder me.
These gays are trying to get me to their show.
People were asking us if they could buy these for Christmas presents. Obviously, since the announcement is after Christmas, no. But you can always give a card that says, guess what you're getting for Christmas? And then just buy them when they come on sale. Because they'll come on sale very soon.
Well, technically, isn't January 6th like the last day of some Christmases? Or like, isn't there like...
The beginning of the insurrection. That's the name of our next tour. We can insurrection announce that. Crappens the insurrection tour. You can't even get in the front door. You have to crawl in through the windows. If Ben's laptop is not stolen by the end of one of the episodes, we're going to be pissed. Okay.
You get 10% off if you wear a buffalo mask or head thing. Also, this is Crappens on Demand, which is probably why we're extra loony today. It's Crappens on Demand. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. Support us in Crappens on Demand level. You get to watch us, not just listen to us, and you get access to all sorts of things like our bonus episode, which we still have not recorded yet, but that will be up later this week. Yada, yada, and yada. And you know what you can get for your friends and your family members if you don't get them a Crappens ticket for Christmas, because you can't get them a Crappens ticket for Christmas, you can get them some Crappens merch. Go to crappensmerch.com and go on a healing journey.
Let's land the promotion plane.
I'm sorry, Ronnie, if I'm just trying to do my job as a podcaster. I'm sorry.
Land the plane, Marge!
I actually felt like I had landed the plane. You're like the person who just stood up on the plane while we were taxiing to the jetway. Stay in your seat, and then I will let you know, sir.
I am that person. I'm the person who gets all impatient and then starts yelling on the plane about how impatient I am and how much this sucks, and then they have to turn the plane around to take me back and have me arrested, and then it just makes my whole trip longer. You know?
Right.
I am that person.
Well, anyway, the point is, see Ronnie at the mall tonight if you can. Point.
Yeah. You know, I really should have done just taken a plot of an episode of something and made it serious, you know. Maybe I'll do
why don't you
one
just
day.
Do the white why don't you do White Lotus as your story, just like literally just rip it off and lie.
Well, I was seeing this guy quick, and then we ended up getting married.
All right, Ronnie, land the plane.
Hey, that's a Jennifer Coolidge plane. You never tell a Jennifer Coolidge plane when to land.
I don't tell any planes when to land because I trust the plane.
But no, that you being tweet said, the plane. You tweet the airline and say, this plane is not landing. You're like, at United, I'm on a plane right now. It is not landing. How dare you?
That is true. So, okay, the plane has officially landed. And the plane has landed in Charleston. And we are here. And
the song playing over the plane as it lands is, I know a place where we can go.
Oh, yeah, the theme song. I'm not a fan of this theme song. I really am not. I feel like they really deserve something a little bit more.
It's week three, musical? And I don't know the tune of the song. It should be worming in my brain. It should be an earworm. I need to be like, I know a place where we can go. Or something that like sticks in there, but it's like, I know a place where we can go.
It's like not a very self-assured song, too. It's almost like they're embarrassed to be singing, which, I mean, that's understandable. But like when you see the title card of Southern Hospitality and it says, gonna go out tonight. It's like someone singing like that, not like a full throated, I'm gonna go out tonight. Like I want right. melisma it's kind of like and the, a run.
Mm-hmm of Southern charm, but you can't just have an mm-hmm. You need some. You know,
you need like. I agree. Or, it's a failure.
Yeah.
But what's not a failure is the previouslys. So you have Grace Lilly who says, just because Mikkel is on suspension doesn't mean his rivalry with Joey Marbles is. Luckily for Mikkel, Leva welcomed back. But oh, how the VIP host has fallen. Meanwhile, Maddie tried to get me, Grace Lilly, in trouble. But Leva with Leva, but I will not get in the way of me getting back into Republic.
We work hard at Republic. We play hard at Republic. So when you don't work at Republic, you lose both Republic and Republic.
That was previously. So we start at Grace Lilly's parents' house. And Mikkel comes over and Grace is like, hi, good to see you. I'm feeling white and light. It's like a beam of light. And she was referring to her dress there. But sometimes on these Bravo shows, I never really know.
Well, especially, yeah, with Grace Lilly. She's like, hi, I'm white and thin. I win. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. No one is thinner or whiter than me. Yay! I love winning.
Although, actually, Grace Lilly does appear to be mixed race, which is the irony of it all. But then we see, most importantly, Grace Lilly's cat, Penelope, who looks so unhappy to be there.
I thought it was a little dog. I really did think it was a little dog. It's Penelope the cat. Sorry for
misanimalizing.
Misspeciesing you, Penelope. But great to see you. So Grace tells, she has Mikkel over to help her with her party. And she tells us, when I was younger, my mom used to go all out for my birthday. As you get older, birthdays tend to be not as special, but 24 is a milestone birthday. So my parents love paying for my birthday.
It's like, how does any of that make sense in the same sentence? And how is 24 a milestone birthday?
It's literally not a milestone.
It's 24 is literally a quarter of a dollar. How is it not a milestone?
Like, the only way it's a milestone is... Like, 24 is only a milestone number in terms of counting hours in a day. I think it's the only...
Or to, like, Kiefer Sutherland. Every time he hears 24, he's like, yeah. Got another one under the belt.
Another season wrapped. Set a perimeter. So
Mikkel's like, why are there so many flowers set up on the table? And she's like, because we're going to put them in these little vases in these green foam things. And he's like, you brought me here to work? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah. And so she's doing an Alice in Wonderland birthday party. And she goes, I definitely connect with Alice in Wonderland. I was like this little girl at one point. Like, I just came out of the rabbit hole. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's her version of Alice in Wonderland. What the fuck?
Wonderland is a landmark city, okay?
I mean, I remember when I was a little girl going into rabbit hole, and next thing I knew, I was playing croquet with a big lesbian, and I was like, what the fuck?
And she's offers him some lemonade, and he's like, yeah, but you're going to put sugar in it. And she goes, duh. That's her thing. Like, duh. And he says, I've had lemonade with my white friends and lemonade with my black friends, and only one of them is sweet. What? Is that a thing?
I did not know, but, you know, I'm learning many things from this show.
What is it? Lemon juice? What are you drinking? Who has lemonade without sugar? That sounds crazy to me. Is it Crystal Light? What are you drinking over there? I need some answers.
I just wanted more elaboration. You know, that was actually one of the most interesting parts of this episode was finding out about different lemonade techniques.
And it's just powdered shit anyway, of course. And he's like, well, I will always be close to Grace. Like, we're childhood friends. And Grace is still the type of person she was in the sixth grade. I'm like, yeah, I'll bet. I can see that.
Please don't ever tell me that I'm the same person I was when I was in sixth grade.
Only Grace Lilly would find that complimentary.
I know, exactly. Also, this means that they're going to hate each other by the end of the season. Anytime anyone on reality TV says we are always going to be friends, that means they're done. Season two, if they get to season two, it's going to start with them being in a feud.
Yeah.
So Grace is inviting everyone to her tea party, because even TJ, because she wants to be the bigger person, aka the producer said you have to invite everyone.
Yeah, so you have to invite the cast. I love when he said, Grace, she's the life of the party. If you want to have fun, call Grace. I'm like, okay, what are you just reading bathroom stalls now?
I know.
Like, come up with your own lines.
So why do you want to hang out with TJ? And she's like, because I'm trying to get back to Republic. Duh. It's my signature duh.
He just got dead. And she's like, yeah, I've been waiting to get back to Republic because I want to show Leva that I can put my grudges aside and be friends with everyone, even TJ. It's like cut to TJ being like, trash bitch. Hey, Dinah ditch, trash bitch.
And Mikkel's like, yeah, like TJ and I were like cool at one point, but like, so how all of a sudden you don't like me because I'm back? Like, you want to be the only gay person working at Republic? Yes, that is exactly what it is. Ronnie's got beta fish now, so he understands the behavior of of certain men when they're around other men, and I think that's what's happening with TJ.
I think it is too, because you know how sometimes people will say it was like I was the only one, you know, like I was the only gay on my improv team or whatever. And everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, hell yes, I'm the only queen on this improv team. Yay. You know, there's something different about it.
There is something like when you are like the gay one in a group, sometimes you do get afforded special attention that like you would not normally be. Like, so this wedding I went to in Minneapolis, I was there. I think I was like the gay one. I don't think there were any other gay guys there.
Love it.
And yeah, there was this guy. He was, his name was Cowboy. And he's like, hey, I'm just a hillbilly. He's like a champion at driving snowmobiles up hills. Like, there's a sport.
Yes.
You know about this sport? Where you ride snowmobiles up a hill and you try to go as high up the hill as you possibly can.
No, I don't love that sport. It's just that the minute you start thinking, what will straight guys think up next? You know, then they come up with something next. I mean, there's always something next. I got to hand it to him.
And he was like full on, like, he was like, you know, Minnesotan sort of hick, like self proclaimed. And then he's like, so is your wife over at the reception? I was like, no. He's like, oh, your girlfriend? I go, no. I go, I'm gay. And he goes, oh, so where's your guy? I was like, he's not here. He was like, okay, I'll be your wingman. And then all of a sudden I was like, they're like, hey, Ben, you know, I felt like I was treated like I was put on a little bit more of a pedestal because I was like the only gay. So then,
but when there's another one, like if you're, I go to weddings alone all the time. I'm often the only gay one, you know? And I love it because after people are like, oh, you know that guy I was talking to? Who? The gay one? Yes. Yes, I know. Yeah, the gay one. Yeah. And then they remember you. And then people after are like, hey, everyone remembered you at the wedding. That's crazy. And I'm just thinking, because I'm the gay one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you guys who don't suck wieners really don't understand what we get. But if there's another gay guy there, then they say, who's that guy? The gay one? Which one?
Oh yeah. My God, the cool and then one all of a sudden, everything's fucked up. It's fucked up because then they have to look at you as actual people. And then what happens is, because like when you're just the one, people just imbue all the great things they know about gay people on you. Usually they're like, oh my God, he is hilarious. He's sassy. Oh, he knows fashion. He knows. And everyone just assumes this of you. And like, that should be a bad thing. It's like, guys, I'm a human. Stop trading in stereotypes. But the truth
is, I'm not a human. Everyone I'm a cardboard cutout. Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's like, he's
whatever
fab.
Quality you want.
Everyone's like, he's great. I love him. The way he was voguing on the dance floor. I'm like, I wasn't even voguing,
he can teach straight men to be just enough gay looking to be better in bed. I mean, they're just putting entire shows on you.
His movie at the box office did not do very well, but I laughed. I was like, well, I'm not Billy Eichner, but I will take it. But then as soon as there's another gay, then people have to differentiate.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they just sort of see you for all your flaws.
Yeah, I don't want that. And it's like, yeah, because then it's like, which gay guy? The big one with the bald head or the hot one who's kind of bitchy? You know, it's like, oh, God, now I'm a big guy with a bald head. Couldn't I just stay the gay guy? You know, and then you just kick the TJ in the shins and shove him under a table until the wedding.
I know. So I've been the TJ. But the difference is that I'm not, like, nasty about it. And
TJ's a little asshole. I'm so sick of this guy. He's just such a persnickety little asshole.
Blech. He is. He's unhappy with himself. Clearly.
I do like Mikkel, but Mikkel is doing that fifth grade thing where every time somebody doesn't like him, he's like, oh my God, they are so threatened by me.
Yeah, he
That's
is.
Like his thing. Like,
Mikkel's not
so
great either, by the way. Mikkel is not great either, but I like him. I like Mikkel, like, but he's also kind of flawed. Like, I think he would wear me out in person.
He's a mess, but I like him.
Yeah. I like him too.
Because I love a good mess. We all know that. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So he's like, yeah, and why wouldn't you come to me if you have a problem? I have been a team player, and coming to do my job is proving myself. And, you know, TJ's full of it. Oh, and that flower is just like TJ. It's limp and sad.
Yeah, good flower burn. By the way, Mikkel has not been a team player because he promoted at some place that was not even Republic. How could you do this to the brand? To the brand, to Leva, to Lamar. So now we
and
go over.
I think that's fine. You're a freelancer. You can sell whatever the fuck you want until they have a contract, a salary, and health care. Okay? Until then, they can get off my fucking back. I'm wearing shorts from Old Navy and a glitter jacket from Amazon. And I know because that's where I buy my crappies jackets. You're telling me I can't get an extra job? Fuck you. Okay? Yeah. Give me health care.
Yeah. How about you supply some back braces for people hoisting those giant signs over their head that say things like, bitch made. So... Now we go over to Republic, and they're, like, setting up for the night. So Maddie is, like, bossing things. She's like, you need another stanchion. You need a stanchion. Get a stanchion. Get it. I'm like, do you even know what a stanchion is? Yes, it's another word for mushroom, right? No.
It's where trains come into the park. No. Well, listen, big top, big top, big top, big top, big top. Okay, and then Joey Marbles, this is how I like booth setup. I like a table right here, and then this is the disc. I'm like, what are you telling a fucking manager where you want the booths? He knows.
This is like inside the actor studio. Like, I want everyone to see my method, okay? To make sure you have the perfect booth, you sit down first and then see how far away the table is from you, and then you'll know. I was like, wow, thanks for that hack.
Yeah, the term method on that show is like the term stanchion on this show. You just say it to be like, I'm upper crust restaurant worker, okay? I know what a stanchion is. Now get it over here.
And then Joey Marble's like, no, here's my technique. What I do is I sit down on the, and then I push it back a little bit so I can see how I can do a dance. And he does like this weird like 1960s like left, right thing. Oh, Joey Marbles.
Joey. So Saturday, Mia has lunch with her dad and they're walking to the restaurant. She's like, I'm so hungover. And he's like, you're hungover? She says, yeah. I mean, I just drank so much last night. I'll have a gin. He's like, is that good for a hangover? She's like, yeah, it's the only thing for a hangover.
Yeah. And she gives us a little bit of her background, which is, that she, her dad is Italian, but she's actually Afro-Caribbean because she was raised in Trinidad and Tobago. I love how she goes, in this little island called Trinidad and Tobago. I'm like, yes, we've all heard of Trinidad and Tobago. So, I'm like all of a sudden mad about this. I'm geography mad, guys.
How dare you? You're like, how dare you suggest? I don't know what.
We are Watch Our Crappins listeners. We are aware of Trinidad and Tobago. I remember watching MTV's The Challenge that took place there. But anyway. By the way, one of our Twitter followers tweeted at us, and I don't have their name, I'm sorry. But did you realize that this show has a Lucia and a Mia, much like White Lotus 2, Lucia and Mia?
Oh my God. And see? They were hookers.
Yeah.
You know, so, just I mean, like every cast member on this show.
The Jennifer Coolidge reference is actually completely apt for today. Leva's like an uninteresting Jennifer Coolidge.
Maybe. Yeah, except these two are like the least hookery, I think, out of everybody, right?
They really are. They're like the
They're like the most together ones out of everybody. But I love that she has a dad. So she's talking about how she went to Republic, I assume, and bought it because there was a sign with her name on it. But she bought a table. And he's like, yeah, saw the bill. I saw the American Express bill or whatever. I love that she works in finance and she works four nights a week making tons of cash and still has her dad paying for her card. I would just like to say to my parents, if they're listening, you lazies. You lazy, lazy people, okay? I want to be supported!
And not only that, he had bottle service, and they did one of those, they brought one of those signs over, like the Britney Don't Get Married to Jack sign or whatever it was, and they misspelled Charleston on it. They spelled it Charleston. I was like, that seems like very on-brand for Republic.
The dad's like, you should be able to name, to spell the name of the city that you're living in. Come on. So tell me, what are you doing here? Why are you working in a nightclub? She's like, do you notice the cameras right here? What? Do you need to add? The answer is standing right there. He's rolling and picking his nose at the same time. It's right there.
Yeah.
Come on.
And she's like, yeah, during the day, I'm a financial analyst for a biotech company that's run by people who warm up chimichangas in the kitchen. And during the week, I just found myself.
If I have to hear about one more fucking person's Wordle today, I'm going to kill somebody. It's like, you have chimichanga breath, okay? Keep it to yourself.
For crying out loud, it's called Merrill Lynch, not Merrill Chimichanga.
And he's like, you're not going to leave your real job, though, right? And she's like, no. And she tells us during the day she's a financial analyst for a big biotech. And you'll probably need that after working here, by the way.
You will need all the biotech.
Hope you have access to the microscopes, okay? And the beakers. You're
gonna need just go and call up Amgen or whatever. So, so then the dad's asking, so how's your love of life? Have you found any young boys? Young boys to scam their money out of?
The dad's throwing up a pizza pie. Like,
Mamma mia! Welcome to the White Lotus, Sicily!
It's Jeff Murray Abraham. Oh, God. So he asked her about love interests and stuff. And she's like, well, I am kind of seeing this guy. We went on one date. And then we see a clip of the guy saying, I've been doing a cooking show on YouTube one day every week. And she's like, wow, do you do it shirtless?
Yeah, and he goes, I've been asked. So she says that she wants
too.
To be.
Me too, buddy.
She says she wants to get married at 30, and the dad's like, you're not that young. She's like, excuse me, I'm 24. It's a landmark age, apparently. Okay. It's not that young. I'm not that old at all. He's like, no, why don't you get the marriage at 28?
Some guy just comes by and puts like a city landmark around her neck. You've made it. Congratulations. Don't change your windows without any permission. Sorry. I'm losing simple words today. So she's like, I mean, I don't know what the rush is. I mean, if he wants a grandkid, he has basically one there. He's got a 4-month-old baby and he's 56. And I was like, hey, don't knock it. You're talking to half of the Bravo sphere right now. Because on Bravo, that's when you start having babies. Right? 50? I'm having two. I'm gonna have two babies.
And every
baby, what was your last boob job? Love it. Look great. Boobs look great.
So then the dad is like, I guess he starts talking about Joey Marbles. I guess because he likes Joey Marbles. He's like, yeah, that the Joe is here. I'll try to give the dad more of a Chris Pratt Super Mario accent. That the Joe is a very good looking guy. Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers coming to summer theater near you.
It's a me, Mario.
I wish Giselle getting out of bed in the morning. It's me, really? Mario.
By the way, I really wish Princess Peach in this new Super Mario Brothers movie, I wish she were voiced by the hotel manager at White Lotus, too.
Valentina.
Come on, Giuseppe, stop the shit. Mario, get over here. There's a Goomba.
Loved her.
Which actually sounds offensive, but really was a reference to the specific little mushroom creature in Super Mario Brothers. So, yeah. So then Mia is,
there you says, go. Ben just went down a really dark path over there.
I did. Well, I was doing a thing is this. I can mention, I feel like I can mention the Super Mario Brothers Goombas, and I feel like I can do a silly, like over the top Italian accent, but I feel like when you do both together, that's it bad. Just sounds wildly offensive.
Yeah. When you combine two good things, sometimes they can make one bad thing. Ask the lady in biotech, Mia, whose birthday it was last night at Republic. So yeah, the dad went to the party at Republic and he's like, oh, this is Joe, good looking guy, really good looking. And she's like, well, we make out sometimes. He goes, what? We make out. Make out what? Who? Make out. Kiss. Who?
Who?
Who you make out with who? What?
Joe. And, yeah, go, like, it actually yeah, was, we can't. It was like, it was like a very sad Laurel and Hardy routine. You make out. Who? Joe. What? We make out. Why? Because we want to. Who? What? Kiss? What?
Make out what? And she's like, well, I mean, we're both single. We're both attractive. So I hate self-labeling attractive people. I hate it. Yeah. It makes me crazy. You wait for someone else to say you're attractive. You don't go around saying how attractive you are. Don't make me like root for you to get old on Instagram, because that's my favorite thing to do, is find someone who's like, I'm so young and you're so old. And then I just go on Instagram and wait for them to start aging. And oh my God, the first day you see a crow's foot on someone like that. God, it's just, what a landmark day.
That's why 24 is a landmark day, because that could be when you get your very first crow foot.
Your first crow's foot.
Yeah. So Mia, by the way, Mia is actually, though, it just so happens to me that
she
Mia
is gorgeous. Stunning. She is stunning. But, like, I don't need you to tell me you're stunning.
Yeah, don't,
you
know, no, what I let mean? Us tell you.
Like, apples don't come with a little label that says healthy. It's like, you're an apple. We get it. You're healthy. Yeah, okay, you don't have to fucking brag about it, you know?
You're an apple, and you're really not that healthy. Yeah. So, like, an apple a day keeps the doctor, like, at a regular schedule, to be honest. So, Mia is, like, yeah, so she basically is saying how she, like, has known him forever. And, like, what's great about Joe is that, like, he has this most insane ability to make people feel like he's known them forever. Like, everyone likes him. Guys, girls, stanchions, they just love him.
Hamsters. People who spell Charleston wrong, telephone poles. The dad's like, well, he is the best looking guy I've ever seen. And she's like, well, seriously, if he finds out you said that, he's going to make that his Instagram bio.
What? His bio? For what? IG? What?
Tech? Was it biotech? IG tech? What is this?
He works in biotech. So now we go to Mikkel's apartment. It's Saturday, and he's getting a call from Leva. And Leva's like, hey, can you pick up like a 9 p.m. shift tonight? It's going to be a VIP shift. So Mikkel's like very excited because he's going to be hosting again. He's not going to be a barback, and which I think is like bullshit. They think they needed to have him as a barback like one more episode, right? Just to see.
Well, it's very Bravo, isn't it? Like, I'm going to teach you a lesson for 2 episodes. You
know? Not even.
So anyway, he's like, I'm so grateful. I'm going to prove that bringing me back was not a mistake. And she's like, yeah, it's because Joe Thread is back. Bye. So then Joe's like, yeah, I saw these women at the gym and I thought I could work out more. And then all of a sudden I realized I was fucked. And so I like walked off playing like I was cool. I like waved at the girls, but I was pretty demoralized. That's Joe's story. Because today we're getting everybody's like deep story about their lives, and that's Joe's. I was demoralized at the gym.
He was demoralized when he tried to do too much of a squat. Like, Mikkel is doing my job. Like, that hurts worse than my back. Because I hurt my back at the gym. And it was demoralizing.
So then back to Leva, she's like, yeah, he's on his back, so I'm like going to let you take just this one shift, just tonight. It's super important. This is the most important night of your life. And guess where it's going to be? Republic. Don't fuck it up. Don't make me regret this. This is Republic, okay? Just remember at all times that if you're not at Republic, you're nowhere. Be at Republic on time.
If you had one shot, one chance, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it? You better lose yourself in the move music, in the movement. It's like you could hear like Mikkel walking to Republic. It's like dun 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 dun.
Eight Mac. You're in Republic. You're in Republic. Just Leva's like completely uninterested voiceover. I've never seen someone be given their own show who looks that uninterested in the whole thing. She's just like, every time she walks in, she's like, hi, what's going on in here? So getting ready. So everybody's getting ready at the restaurant, and the girls have this dressing room that looks like an old theater dressing room, you know, like showgirls are getting ready. It's very like a mob movie when the mobster goes into the dressing room and all the girls like, hey, Dad!
Yeah.
Like smacking gun with her.
Bullets over Broadway.
Yeah, it's very Bullets Over Broadway. So it's that, and Maddie's like, I'm excited because Mikkel is working tonight. He's working tonight. Just chomping on that gum with their tiny little pupils.
And Mia's like, no one told me that, and I work in biotech. And Maddie goes, yeah, no, well, Joe apparently threw his back out, and like I'm debating if he's being dramatic right now. And Emmy goes, it's real.
I couldn't remember Emmy's name at first, so I just wrote dummy. No, it was real. I love Emmy. I think Emmy's my favorite one so far. She's just such a dingbat. And the way she just looks around, like she's just confused by everything. Like every time somebody says something to her, she's just like looking kind of down and around. Like
she's the only one with a nice apartment, and she's the only one who can put together a nice charcuterie board. So like she already has a leg up on every single other person. Like I know it's cool that Mia works in as a financial analyst for biotech, but like, bitch, where's your crudité board? Because I don't see it yet.
I hope nobody hurts Emmy. Will. But I love Emmy because she looks like she has floaters in her eye, and she's just always trying to like figure out how to get rid of them. Like she's watching them swim around. She's like, actually, I have floaters in my eye, so I'm watching mine go around. So then Mia and Bradley and TJ are talking, and Mia's like, sold 4 tables last night and a cure for hepatitis. Well, it's just... It's, you know, it's new. It's untested. But.
Well, I it's more like I figured out how much the cure for hepatitis would actually cost because I'm a financial analyst. So.
Listen, he says I only have 2 jobs. Okay.
Yeah. So Mia is like, Mikkel's going to be at the door tonight, apparently. And Bradley's like, with all of us. Charismatic door people. And she's like, yeah, because Joe hurt his back. And so Bradley goes, yeah, because he has the team on his back. That's why. I'm like, what? The way that this group talks about this workplace, it's like, it's so like old fashioned to me. Like, it's like, hey, we are a team. We are a team. We are the people of Republic. It's like they're like the Lollipop Guild or something like that.
Yeah. So Mikkel comes into the girls' dressing room, and he's like, yeah, so I'm working. And Maddie's like, this is going to sell out so quick, but here, let's look at this. The girls can only handle these tables, 3, 6, 9. So I don't want you going up to them saying, I sold table 20. Do you understand? There's too many tables, not enough stanchions. Are you with me? Do you understand? Do you get it?
Okay, Full Metal Jacket. So, by the way.
She is. She's so like... like a loud noise, she just jumps under a stanchion.
Also, by the way, the dresses that Republic is making these women wear, and the backs look crazy. They look like they're an alien, for crying out loud, because the back is fully open, but then there's like these random like straps, and it literally looks like the facehugger thing from Alien. Like I'm shocked that Maddie has not actually just like attached herself. And just like reemerge from someone's stomach, you know?
Yeah. So Mikkel is outside now, and he's talking about how there's he's talking to the guests coming in, like a line. He's like, so bachelorette party? Okay, guess what? We've got a good deal today. Great deal. Bachelorette parties. Check it out. Bachelorette party special. Best club in Charleston. And by Charleston, yes, I do mean Charleston.
Okay. Charleston.
Charleston.
Okay. I mean, at this point, just give him like an accordion and like one of those foot pedals so a cymbal can go up and down behind his back. Like, I just think this whole thing of like we are VIP concierges, it just goes back to that scene from the first episode where like, come on in, come on in, come on in, come on in, come on in.
Comedy, 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 comedy. You like comedy? You like comedy? You like comedy? You like comedy?
It's like they're so like then, the people who are trying to get like tourists to go on the TMZ bus and drive around Hollywood.
Or the hot dog people who, and when you're walking around in Hollywood, they just go, hot dog, 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 hot dog. Hot dog, hot dog. So, Mia is watching all of this and she's like, given the data I have on Mikkel, he's not maximizing profit. Everyone seems to have a soft spot for Mikkel. I do not see the soft spot or understand the soft spot. Maybe one day this shall dawn on me. I was like, okay, are you trying on a new Mia now? You were nice until this scene. What's going on with you? You're switching.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Mikkel is saying how he's planning on not even talking to TJ because, you know, gay on gay violence. And then Mikkel is talking to Brad and Mia, and he goes, you know, his problem with me is between him and himself, so we can keep that between him and himself. Meanwhile, cut to later in the episode, Mikkel walking by with an enormous sign that's like, fuck you, TJ.
Yeah, right. He's like, yeah, that's his problem. And Bradley's like, that's fine, but you still have to work with us every day. Like, he's not the one making this hellish. You guys are, okay?
Yeah, seriously.
He's just coming in and trying to smile and do a good job. So then they're putting bracelets on the ladies, and he tells some, he's like, hey, guess what? There's girls in there and guys and girls and guys. If you like girls, there's girls. If you like guys, there's guys. We got it all. Lesbian special, heterosexual special, specials on everything.
Yeah, and then so Bradley sees this. There's a large group that's coming in, and Bradley's telling them, like, hey, just so you know, it's gonna get super busy and flooded up there with like so many girls, and like we can give you a sign and you can be as vulgar as you want on the sign. Like, what do you want on the sign? So the guy's like, bitch made. Like, okay, we're gonna make you a sign that says bitch made.
So Mikhail's like, bitch made, that's a perfect sign to walk past a certain table and a certain person. So they light the sparklers, which they do every night, which must make you feel super special when it's your birthday there. Like, badly spelled sign coming out with some sparklers. And Mikhail's carrying the sign. And he's like, I've got to carry it right by TJ. So he carries the bitch made sign. And TJ's just like, well, isn't that special?
Wow, it's not even a full sentence, huh? Yeah, isn't that special? Was it Satan? So
it cuts to Mia's dad just going, bitch made what? Bitch made what?
What is what it with the grammar make? In this place? So Mikkel's just like holding, and he's basically just like dancing in front of TJ with a sign, like da 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 da, you know. And TJ is just like all like flummoxed by it and everything. And Maddie's like, that actually has to go to a table, because he apparently was like there for like a minute, just like prancing back and forth with a sign.
And he's like, I'm glad he saw the sign, because as far as I'm concerned, that sign was for him. So then we see TJ in the diary room, and he's like, I don't even know what that is. Bitch made. Okay, bitch made. Somebody who is a snitch and a bitchy and a bitch. Pretty much combined. Stitch and a bitch combined. Like, wow, you can't even make a bitch made Urban Dictionary definition fun.
I know.
Come on, man.
Come on, TJ. So TJ goes, the only thing I have accused Mikkel of is being unprofessional. And look, here he is being unprofessional. You are literally pouring Red Bulls and vodka into glasses for guys who've got, like, you know, baseball caps on and cargo shorts on in a club. And now you're concerned about professionalism in a republic. Let's get real here.
So they're in the kitchen now, and Maddie comes up to Mikkel. She's like, hey, 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 hey. And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. What are you going to say? And she's like, now you're supposed to show the sign to the table, not to TJ. And he's like, I just got confused about where I was going. I didn't know like where the table was. So it was just a mistake.
Yeah. He's like, no. He's like, sorry. It's like, I haven't been working here in a long time. I just don't remember how to do it. He's like, I wasn't trying to show TJ because I would never be indirect like him. Never.
And she goes, yeah, but like what I felt like you were doing was like, I felt like you were supposed to show it to the customers, but like instead you like took that sign and then you were like showing it to TJ. Like, wow, Maddie, no wonder you run Republic. You're
she's on top
it.
Of she's on top of everything going on.
She's the person at the end of the Law and Order where the person has just confessed and she's like, oh my God, I think it's the husband. You're like, the husband has literally just confessed. Maddie.
Well, sorry, Maddie. It took me a long time to get to the table because all these couches and little tables are way too close together for me to walk through.
So then we go to Lucia's house.
Yes.
And she has a son named Lucas. This is her first solo scene.
Yeah, and it's kind of like they basically just throw her a bone. She has a son named Lucas. She has a baby daddy named Devon, and they used to hook up, and then they weren't hooking up, but then like they started to hook up again, and then like one night at Republic, he came by saying that he missed her, and then that was the night that Lucas was made, and now she's like loves Devon.
But then she broke up with him. This is my favorite kind of love story.
But then
he came, he said he loves me so much, and we made love, and we made this beautiful child. And then I said, you know, I'm pregnant. I think we should stop seeing each other for a while. Because, you know, I just needed my space with my pregnancy. And then now he's back, and I'm completely in love. I found my person.
Yeah, she loves how he's like a dad. And then I go walking with the kid.
You shouldn't break up with somebody while you're pregnant. Who goes out and gets you the ice cream?
Exactly.
You know, that's what I'm saying. If I was pregnant, I'd be into plural marriage. I'd have five husbands. I'd be like, you get the ice cream, you get the cookies, you clean the bathroom, and you just walk me back and forth to wherever I need to go and change the TV and turn up the volume up and down when I tell you to. Okay, sir?
Yeah.
Thanks.
The red flag on her judgment there. So then we go over to TJ, who's at home, and he's cleaning his apartment exactly how you'd expect it him to do, which is like very fastidiously. He's like making his bed, cleaning off all the house plants, rearranging everything, you know.
Moving the house plant from like right here next to the lamp to right here next to the lamp.
Yeah.
Just to see how it frames the mirror. He's like, like, no, need to move it back. God, that plant looks like trash. Absolute trash. Trash, bitch. That poor ficus is like, he's so threatened by me. So threatened.
Every single day, he's working against the team in this house. Okay. Moves that plant every single day. You know he does.
Yeah. You know he does. Yeah, he has that look about him. So then Joe looks in the fridge, and he's like, what should we eat today? Eggs? Sausage, maybe? Probably need to get some more forks. He's eating with a butter knife.
Like, depressing issues in Joy Marble's life.
Forks. It's a thing in Charleston. Shep ran out of forks, too.
There's a fork shortage, you know?
COVID. It's a great COVID short. The great COVID fork shortage. Sorry, I know it didn't
supply
matter.
Supply chain issues, am I right? Supply chain.
Is that container still stuck in the... Where is it stuck?
Well,
in
the thing. Well, there was a big shipment of forks that was going through the Suez Canal.
And it was the Panama Canal.
I believe it was Suez.
Was it?
I think it was Suez, which is also the name of my best friend. She works at Republic too.
I was going to say that's an employee name tag.
Suez and Panama sound like two people who are like VIP concierges there.
Oh my God, Panama totally took table 8.
Have you talked to Erie yet? No. Just all the canals. Is there any? I think there's only 3 canals in the world.
And then a girl comes in named Canal. They're like,
oh my God.
She's like, oh my God, Panama is so threatened by me.
Canal Lily.
Okay, so then it's Tuesday, which means it's beach day with Maddie, Emmy, and Lucia. So they're all hanging out on the beach, and Emmy's like, oh my God, thank you for supplying these delicious fruits.
Yeah, because wow. Lucia says, well, guys, I've got hummus, raspberries, and pineapples, which, by the way, it's kind of a strange combo. Anyone want to dip your raspberry in some hummus?
And the celery is in the fork container.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, unfortunately. I lent all my celery to Suez, unfortunately. Maddie goes, oh my God, you're speaking my love language. Pineapple, raspberry, and hummus.
So they're like, oh my God, Maddie, are you going to be DJing this week? She's like, yeah, Thursday in Republic. I'm going to be DJing there. Like, also, like, there's going to be Grace Lee's birthday party and then Republic after. That's going to be nuts. What a nuts day.
Maddie, I think I'm realizing that Maddie is the person that you never want to ask about music, because she'll be like, oh my God, I love music. I hate when people say that as if like that's a novel thing. Like, oh, have you ever heard about music? I love music. It's so cool. You should get into music. I love music. Like, I just saw Dan Summit down in Tampa, and like, I'm dropping a set on Thursdays. So you should come, because I just love it. Have you heard the new Kendrick album? Yeah.
Yeah, I have, because I'm into music. So... Yeah, and she's like, yeah, I'm a DJ because, like, my family is really into, guess what? Republic? Yes, they're into Republic. Okay, again, music. That's right, yeah. Music. Like, we're a total musical family, which is where I learned to do this. You know, so as my mom would play the piano, I would just hold one ear and put a hand in the ear and just kind of bop up and down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would do that. You know, God, you know what? Oh, you know what I love? Burl Ives. God, Burl Ives is my jam. I grew up. Listen to Burl Ives, and oh man, I was like, squeaky, 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 Burl Ives.
So then out of nowhere, she's like, yeah, I'm the kind of person to hype people up. Yeah, I got dick this morning, and I already need it again, because like my pH levels are up, because I got dick this morning. Dick. And Emmy's like, yeah, I had dick 5 times yesterday. And I was like, that's just not, listen, I'm sorry. I get that people are horny and stuff, especially when you're young and hot. But that's just, when people say they have sex 5 times a day, there's something that they're lying about, right? But it's Emmy, so she does not lie. Yeah, Emmy doesn't lie at all. She goes, well, Will wakes up very hungover. And like, if we're having sex 5 times a day, it's because he can't finish. And it takes 5 times a day for him to finish. I was like, thank you. Thank you for the truth. It's all I needed.
Yeah. She goes, I'm doing a 100-yard dash like 5 times. And Will is running like a marathon. I'm like, okay. So then Lucia's like, well, they're like, how's your man, Lucia? And she goes, Davon is great. They're like, great. Okay. We've given you that moment. Now back to us.
Yeah, Maddie's like, wow, was the sex good with him? And what made you want to get back with him? Because, like, when Trevor comes back into my life, he's like a brand new man all of a sudden. It's like, I have a brand new man right now. Am I right? Trevor. Yeah, Trevor. Yeah, Trevor. Yeah, he, like, speaks my love language.
Yeah, he really does. It turns out, like, once he got, like, a bicycle pump, it really just turned things around for me. He wasn't so stressed anymore, and he could really focus on the relationship.
All it took was some full tires.
All it took was for Charleston to just get some bike lanes, and then he was like totally chill after that. No more cheating.
She's like, yeah, I'm like totally different around him now, because like he's different, and now it's like I'm almost submissive. It's like weird. No, it's not weird. This guy cheated on you publicly and you took him back. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, at it's all. Like, wow, I can't believe someone who would love bomb you would love bomb someone who's submissive. Like, that never happens. So Maddie's like, yeah, when it comes to Trevor, I care less about myself and more about him, you know? And like what will happen if he like loses his sleeveless shirt, or like what will happen if like his shoelace gets stuck in a spoke? Like all these things. Like, I just get so googly-eyed around him. Although, actually, to be fair, I am actually pretty googly-eyed in most situations, so I guess that doesn't really count.
I mean, it's more of a hard googly eye, but still, it's like a googly eye if it got a little too much glue on the back. You know, it doesn't really move as much. You press it down too hard, but still, it's a googly eye. You know, like whatever he asked me to do, I would do it. And I can't say that about any man not named Republic.
And Lucia goes, well, there's always that saying. And she goes, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And then there's like a flashback. Was there like the flashback of like Joey or something being like, you know what they say? Don't put your eggs in one basket.
No, she says, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. Oh. And Joe goes, well, I think it's just that you have like a lot of eggs, but your basket's really small. And she's like, wow. Wow. I also love how they're so surprised by old sayings. You know, they're like so delighted. Like, don't put all your eggs in the basket. And then Mikkel earlier was like, well, if the shoe fits, wear it. I was like, yes.
Hey, Lucy and Emmy, did you know that like grass grows greener on other sides? It's amazing.
Of what? The fence. I don't have a fence.
So,
do you want to fuck again?
It's not,
she's all exhausted.
On the other side of the fence.
Want to try again?
Have you ever seen milk and want to cry over it? I heard that's a thing you can do.
So some of the boys arrive. And of course, Mikkel arrives just probably how he arrives everywhere. Just screaming and running to them and like jumping all over. And he's like, I'm off, bitch. And Maddie's like, wow, you were off? Wow, how was work last night? Were people asking about the DJ or Trevor? What if Trevor started DJing? How would I take? I'd let him. I wouldn't let that happen to any other man. No, I really want to hear. Go ahead, talk about yourself.
Yeah, and but then like Joey's also. It wasn't just Mikkel. I got confused here by my notes because I said Joey asking about the beef with TJ. So I guess Joey asked him about that.
It's and Will. Mikkel, yeah.
What was it Will said? Why did I?
No, those guys. And Joey. Yeah,
it was like that scene like, from She's All That when they all went to the beach and played volleyball. You know.
Yeah. And Joe is like, what's your beef with TJ? I just don't understand. You don't understand. You guys are shit talking him constantly. And you see TJ has gone from every person saying like, fuck that guy. And he doesn't believe in Republican. I wouldn't give him a job here. Don't serve him. Do not serve him. How do you not understand?
Yeah.
You know, is no one allowed to react to anything? I mean, Christ.
To be fair, he just barely understands how you have to have a proper ratio of forks to knives in your drawer. So, like, there are a lot of things that are going right over Joey Marble's head. Okay. So, Mikkel's like, well, I just don't respect him. Like, I just don't vibe with him. And Lucia's like, well, when you're holding up your VIP sign right in front of his face. And Mikkel's like, huh, that was not on purpose, guys. Like, that was not on purpose. Okay, I'm going to work something out so I can be cordial with TJ, okay? And by cordial, I mean tomorrow I'm going to go in with a sign that says, you're a stupid little twat face, you stupid little cut fitness.
And they show a clip of this, like the VIP sign moment. And it's now it's in that blue filter, you know, where they do the drama scenes. And the music's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, made bitch or whatever. So funny. They're trying to make it this big dramatic thing now. And so they're like, so you don't want to be friends with him? And he's like, yeah, I'll be cordial, like you said, sorry. And Maddie's like, I love Mikkel, but they shouldn't be arguing at work, period. It's like a high standard to be working VIP at Republic.
When you're a part of the Republic family, you have to be having a high standard. And part of that may include, like, is there enough room for your knees before a table? Is there enough champagne to go around? Can you stand on a sidewalk and say, hey, lady from Wichita, who's visiting, come on in for bottle service, yo-yo. You know, high standards all around.
Yeah. If you fight in Republic, you fight with Republic.
Republic demands high loyalty at all times, okay? You do not say bad things about Republic.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, they shouldn't be fighting. And Lucy is like, we're not going to do this shit at the tea party, are we? And Will's like, if you think this is just going to be a tea party, you have another thing coming. Let's hope so. I'm exhausted. You want to try again? It's not right now. I mean...
She's like, I already thought you finished. So now we go... Now it's Emmy and Grace Lilly, and they're going to go get their eyebrows done. And Grace Lilly's like, oh, Jill, she does such an amazing job. She is the best at lashes. And Emmy's like, I'm so excited. So
I'm going to get a tint and lift. And so they go in, the Jill, the best eyebrow lady in America, is like, do you guys want some Prosecco? And Grace is like, I am so excited. This is so booze. Alice in Wonderland tea party tomorrow. I just need to look good. And I just need to feel that, you know? A straw with Prosecco? So bougie, baby. I'm feeling myself today. Yes, it's my birthday today. Monumental milestone birthday. When is her single coming out? Because you know she's going to have one.
There will be, for sure. And she's like, you know, last year I didn't feel good about myself. Okay, I didn't like the way I looked. I was suffering from body dysmorphia real bad. And Emmy's like, oh yeah, I had slight body dysmorphia last year too. Like I was really insecure and like I couldn't keep up with the aesthetic of being skinny. And like I felt like if I didn't look a specific way, I wasn't doing my job. And like some people realize that like when you're at your skinniest, and like people don't realize when you're at your skinniest and your tiniest, that's when you get the most compliments. And like I ate like one bag of chips yesterday and I was like, oh my God. But it's like really nice to be in a healthy mindset. And Grace is like, anyway, so God, we're gonna have a good time. Like not listen to any of Emmy's heart, like story of personal anguish.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, well, anyway, we're gonna be feeling good and looking good. And so I'm like in this cycle in my life where I just don't understand why people hate on me for me doing me. I mean, I'm just me, and who I am is me. And you know what I do? I do what I'm doing. And you know what I'm good at? I'm good at what I do. So I don't know what else to say. Literally. You literally don't.
You're just running on fumes right now, just saying words. Well, I'm just glad I kicked that body dysmorphia watching Mighty Dysmorphia Power Rangers. So Emmy's like, she's like,
it's just,
well,
all the images, the media, the mainstream media puts out there to make people have this body dysmorphia. It's like cut to her Instagram. She's like, Photoshopped, you know.
I mean, it's like, well, you're really misunderstood in a lot of ways. She goes, I know, I am so much more than a hot girl on Instagram posing pictures, okay? I'm a hot girl on Instagram posing pictures with good lashes. Thanks, Jill.
I also have a hula hoop. Guys, yeah, but you know, I think that a lot of dysmorphia in general comes from too much Instagram, because like filters and stuff, you know, you get used to like doing all these filters, and then, you know, eventually you're gonna pass a reflective surface, you know. I mean, it's horrifying whenever people put hashtag no filter. I'm like, oh my God, I hope they're ready to see this tomorrow, you know, when they're not drunk anymore and they're like, oh my God, who is this person?
I'm a little concerned that when Grace Lilly said that the year before she had like body dysmorphia, I'm wondering if she had it like the other way around. Like I was just like so outrageous. I just like every time I looked at myself, I'm outrageously hot. But this year I'm much humbler, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I think if she has dysmorphia currently, it is eyelash dysmorphia, because those things look crazy and she does not know it. She's like, this is the best eyelash person. That person is eyelash abusing you. That woman hates you. Jill hates you. They're telling you right now. They look like fingernails. They look like painted fingernails stuck to your eyelid. They look crazy, okay?
Painted fingernails.
Like if you bite your fingernail, like fingernail clippings.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, you
know? They look nuts.
So now it's time for Emmy to get her very first lash tint. So Emmy lies down on this chair and the tech is like, are you comfortable, honey? And she's like, I'm in comfort heaven. You know, honestly, to not be getting pounded by Will for just 10 minutes in my day, it feels pretty good.
And Emmy's like, yeah, my mom went through Grace Lilly's Instagram and she was like, that's a stripper. I mean, at least a stripper. Yeah. So Grace is like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see your lash tint. I don't know, your tint or whatever. And she's like, first, your lash tint, then boobies. Boobies right now. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself and taking care of yourself. Nothing wrong with that. And Emmy's like, yeah, that's why I understand kind of regrounding yourself like, you know, you do. And then we see a call from Leah Taylor and it's for Grace. And she's like, oh my God, my phone's ringing. Who could that be? It's Leah Taylor from Republic. What? Shiny and real, may I help you? She's like, hi, Leva is too bored to even come to the phone right now. So this is her voice double, Leah. If you're available, I have a shift at Republic, but I know you're trying to get back here. And the shift is tomorrow night, pending you don't have other commitments. ...
And Grace,
you don't have to read that part. Sorry. If you're too lazy to get on the phone, don't be too late. You have to be too lazy to give me notes too. You know what I mean? It's my phone call.
So Grace is like, no, I am fully prepared to work on my birthday. Like she's trying. It's her little way of having Leah be like, oh, you know what? Come on a different night. So then she tells us, you know what? I had no intention of working on my birthday. Okay. But obviously I wanted to get lit. Okay. But you know what? This feels like I wanted to work at Republic. So it's sort of like the universe is giving me a birthday present by making me work at Republic.
So then Mia comes over to see Owen, the guy she's dating, the YouTube chef. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, your apartment is so cute. I didn't even need directions. I followed my nose.
Oh, that's how most of the cast of Vanderpump Rules operated the first few seasons. So
you always knew where the Toms were staying.
That's where you can find Jax. So this guy, Owen, he's a chef. And so he invites her over. He's making her dinner. And he has this kitchen island, this sort of like a semicircular kitchen island. And he put like a little tablecloth over a little section of it because that's where they'd be seating. Did you notice that? The little tablecloth on part of the island? I was like, yeah. That is so like mid-20s, right? Like that's something
that's
you would
do. That's so cute. Yeah. I like
that. They're sitting side by side at the kitchen island with a little tablecloth.
Yeah.
By the sink.
And she's like, he's a chef. That's one of the hottest professions you can have. And so she's like, oh my God, you're so fancy. You're opening wine? Oh my God, look how fancy you are opening that wine. This is nuts. Man, the dating pool in Charleston is just fucking awful. I mean, we've got the Southern Charm boys getting so much, which is disgusting. But look at how impressed someone is that you can even open a bottle of wine. I mean, she's about to fall over. Someone has a clean apartment, a bottle of wine that they're opening, and they've made rice. And she's like, impregnate me. Impregnate me right now.
She's like, there's not a single thing wrong with this man. Hold on, I'm going to get some ice from the freezer. And she like opens up the freezer and there's a frozen chimichanga in there. No! She's like, sweat breaks out on her forehead. She has to like race, how do I get out of here? So he actually makes a, what looks like a very perfectly cooked steak, and they are talking, and she talks about how she like went to school in Belize and then was prom queen and all this stuff. And then he starts cleaning and she gets very turned on. And then they start talking about like what they like out of what do they want in a partner. And he's like, well, I'm forever a hopeless romantic. And she goes, I'm a hopeless romantic. I like to, eat things during the day. I like to eat things during the day. I like to breathe.
I like to put square. I like to put square things over rectangular tabletops. It's like, oh my God, I love that too. He's like, most of the girls I date don't enjoy romantic things. I'm like, this sucks. Okay, you're a stalker. I don't know what you consider romantic things, but that's my first red flags. When he's like, yeah, I try to be romantic, but girls just don't like that. Okay, more than one? What are you doing?
Yeah, what's the
romantic
gesture?
Tell me what you're romantic.
Yeah. I mean, how many dick pics can I send with a little thing that behind it that says, I love you? I think that's very romantic.
Wait, I'm just noticing something in this text. Why is my location turn on my text to you? I don't know. It's romantic. It's not romantic, you fucking stalk. Hey, why does my phone keep saying there's a air tag on my person? Oh, I put it in your glove compartment. That's like, stalking. Nah, it's romance. It's romance, honey.
She's like, hey, where did my phone go anyway? Like, hold on. I got to do something for my uncle. I'll be right back. So
what is this meat? Oh, it's a very unromantic cow. Creepy
cow murder. So
I just turned Owen into a serial killing stalker. But, you know, it works for me. I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. Either way, he's still miles ahead of all the guys on Southern Charm. So
yes. Agreed.
So anyway, they make out. And then we go over. Now it's time for Grace Lily's Alice Alice in Wonderland tea party, and so she and Mikkel are there, and she does. She of course does that thing where she announces, "It's my birthday.
Woo!
I'm in Lilyland." Okay. Oh, we're gonna have little teacups, champagne on ice, little napkins. You know, the fancy napkins with my face on it.
I love it. Look at these. We have little mushrooms. I love mushrooms. They are so cute. Hello, little mushroom. So Maddie and Lucy arrive, and she does another thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for coming. We're having tea at a tea party. It's my birthday. It's a landmark. So then Joe and TJ come in, you know, three-piece suits, as you do, in a really hot city. And TJ's like, thank you so much for having me. Here's some flowers for you. It's like, I really appreciate it. So today is your day. Today is your day. So take these flowers.
And Mikkel's watching from afar going, fake. Fake. Yeah. Which is like the best way that us gays fight, which is just standing in a corner and just saying, fake.
Fake. Fake. So then Mikkel's like, yeah, give me a checkmate, bitch. Because now he's taking pictures of Grace Lily, who spends her entire party, by the way, just being like, yes. It's me, genuine, shiny, and real shine. I'm shining right now. Yeah, now I'm going to shine laying down on the chest floor. Yeah, shining.
And then she tells Joe that she's going to be working tonight. And she goes, I don't care if it's my birthday or not. I'm going to work and show up and prove to you guys like I am here. By the way, spoiler alert, she's not going to be at work, right? We all know she's not showing up to her shift tonight.
Is she not? Do you think she's not?
I mean, it's Grace Lily. Of course she's not. Or she's going to leave early. She's like, I have some soul searching to do.
My chakras are off. So sorry. So TJ is talking to, he's gossiping basically with Maddie and the guys. And he's like, well, I saw this guy. And he was like, huh, where's that Mikkel guy? Or like, I'm Mikkel's friend or something like that. And he's like, Mikkel promised me 2 wristbands and to get into VIP, even though I only have a table. And there's people coming up to the bar saying, I'm on Mikkel's tab. I'm on Mikkel's tab. What about that? And Maddie, first of all, which is it? Is he saying he's Mikkel's friend or is he saying, where's that Mikkel guy? Because those are 2 different things. And are they friends of Mikkel's or are they just random customers trying to get...
Yeah.
Because he's trying to throw somebody under the bus and make it sound like Mikkel's friends are coming in expecting to drink for free.
Exactly.
I hate this guy.
So Maddie's like, well, the bartender should know that there's no comp tab for Mikkel. And Mikkel's like, comp tab? He's like, he overhears. So he starts getting mad. He goes, Maddie goes, yeah, they were saying someone came up to the bar and said, I have 2 drinks on Mikkel. And Mikkel's like, well, why don't you all do your job and verify? And so Will goes, yo, Mikkel, it's fine. Like, no one got served. And Mikkel goes, well, don't attack me for something I didn't do.
Yeah, then what's the problem, TJ? Was someone stealing from... What are you accusing him of, exactly, you know? And Mikkel's like, I work on commission, so why would I give anything away for free? Which, that logic does... On the other hand, that logic doesn't really work, right? Because I get free shit all the time, because they want you to buy more stuff. That's why. Why do they give you Prosecco at the Lash Place? They want you to spend more money there.
Also, like, why are you a VIP concierge person? Like, the reason why people are VIP concierge people is because they like to flaunt their access, that they can give you a special seat, or they can be the ones that can say, you come over here, or you at the back of the line, you get to come up here. So actually, it is the people who are the VIP concierges who do give out
the most for free. Yeah, I think that should have been his argument. It's like, so I'm selling. I sold a shit ton of stuff last night. That's how it works, you dumbass. You would know that if you weren't just stuck behind the bar all night. Okay?
Yeah.
But you know what? Can't change what's already been fought. Can't fight a fight that's already been fought. Mm-hmm. Right? So then the guys just walk off because they were trying to talk behind someone's back and it didn't work. And so now they don't have the balls to stay there and fight it out. So they walk off. And then Maddie's like, but don't be upset, because like basically what's happening here is like I'm sitting here like defending you, because I'm like, if Mikkel did that, like, let's say that he did do that, but like, if he did do that, but they're like guys at the bar that they should know that you don't have a comp tab, so then they're not going to get anything. He's like, I know what happened, okay? You can stop explaining it to me.
Yeah, and then she goes, I always thought that like TJ would be like a great asset to Mikkel, like in knowing who he is, but they like just end up fucking fighting more than anyone else. I'm like, well, that's because I don't know if TJ has owned up to who he is, because all of TJ's behavior really just screams massive insecurity, right? Like, I think that like TJ definitely comes off as someone who yearns to maybe be a little bit more free or open or whatever. And the fact that he is so like, he's so bitter towards Mikkel suggests that there might actually be a certain amount of envy that Mikkel can be just Mikkel.
Mm. Maybe. And Maddie's doing that whole like, but they're both gay. I just don't get it. I mean, they check the same box on the health forms, you know.
Like, listen, I've been to weddings with Mikkel and I've been to weddings with TJ, and everyone loves them at all the weddings. So why can't they be together?
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna try and take them to a wedding together next time. Surely that'll fix it.
Double the pleasure.
And Mikkel's like, I can't take this. I'm gonna go. So he goes to the bathroom to have a good cry. And meanwhile, TJ and Will and Emmy are off gossiping. And Will's like, dude, I think that you're making things, you know, I think you're making work things too personal to where everything's an issue all the time, bro. It's like all the time. And he's like, do you agree with anything that just happened? Yes or no? Agree with what? People came up and tried to get free drinks from the bar? Call the fucking police, TJ. Jeez.
Hold on. There's some grass down here. I just want to take a picture of it for my IG. One second. Okay. <Some
grass. laughs> Anyone have a half piece of pizza that's been half eaten piece of pizza? Okay.
Hey, does anyone mind? Just can someone hold this out? I just want to take a picture of that table leg real quick.
But in black and white. In black and white.
And I'm then an artist. I can say Thursdays. So, so Mikkel has locked himself in the bathroom, of course, because Mikkel, by the way, let's not overlook the fact that Mikkel is such a drama queen. So he's in the bathroom locked, and Maddie's like, come on, Mikkel, let me in. Come on. I mean, it's like Euphoria or something like that. Like someone's ODing in there. And so, you have to let me in. I promise I'll take just you to the wedding.
She's like, okay, he goes, it's just really hard. Like, I'm not going to be doing this all day, okay? And she's like, yeah, but then, like, it is hard because, like, then after this, we have to work together and, like, do another long shift. I mean, thankfully, there's going to be some because, you know, there's going to be a really musically talented person there who, like, grew up with music in their lives. Have I ever told you how much I love music? I love it. I think it's because of my parents.
You ever heard of music? It's so cool. I want to show you tonight what music is. So Mikkel's like, look, it may look like I love to fight and argue, but I'm like really sensitive and I really don't want to mess up Grace Lily's birthday. And like, I'm willing to turn the other cheek and move on for about 30 seconds. Okay.
She's like, you got this. You got this. Like, I got music in my soul.
So then Leva comes plodding across the lawn looking so disinterested, and she actually says it. She goes, I am not involved in the personal lives at all of our staff, but Grace Lily really wanted me to come, and apparently this is what I have to do for the job, and she made a good pitch. And then we see, yes, the previous night Grace Lily goes up to Leva and says, I would love to have like my own event at Bourbon and Bubbles or Republic. And so like, this is something like, if you want to come tomorrow, you can come and you can critique me on how my event was executed. And Leva's like, wait, someone wants me to critique them? I mean, I can't turn that down, even if it is Grace Lily.
Yeah, she's like, I was sitting in a place of no, but you just gave me like a great pitch. I mean, you just made a really big sale because I don't go to anyone's birthday party. Oh my God. Thank you so much. You just changed my life. I love when people are like that. I'm not nice to anyone, but I was nice to you. Oh, I've been blessed. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's like a micro manipulation that when people do that, like, wow. What a privilege. What a privilege that I get to be the one that you're nice to.
It really is. It's not even a micro. It's like 100% abusive manipulation. I mean, I guess abusive maybe is a bit big of a word, but you get it. You know, because she's like, yeah, I feel so special now. She's like, wow, this is so cute. Look at this. Did you do this all on your own? I can totally tell.
So where's the other table? What do you mean? Oh, I'm just used to being put at the other table because there's no seating charts.
Where are all your real business partners sitting? So Lucia's like, oh my God, she did all these special things, Love Up. I'm like, look at these napkins. They have her face on them. And Love is like, It's like a wedding, but like not.
Yeah, so. It's like a wedding. It's like, this is almost like a kitchen counter with flowers on it instead of cookie dough and no toddlers. Strange.
So weird.
Grace is like, well, tonight, Leva, I'm going to prove to you that I'm the best investment you've ever made, okay? Everything you've ever wanted to go, wanted anything to happen is going to come through me, and I'm going to push it out like a baby who just got over dysmorphia.
Yeah, well, I really believe in you. Oh, can I Instagram that? Say it again. Say it again. Okay, be natural. Be natural. I'm not doing this. Put that fucking phone down. So she's like, okay, well, I have a fun little gift for you because I think the best way for you to receive your gift is pick a location. So just choose where you want to be and just like close your eyes and then strike a cute pose and we'll tell you when to open your eyes. And she's like, oh my God, when someone tells me to pose, I do it. I pose. So she goes onto the chessboard thing and a guy comes in with a camera and Lev is like, yeah. He's a fashion photographer. Like, if you want really good photographers at your party for good photographs, which photographers make, you call this guy. So, like, it's my gift.
My gift to you is photos from J. Michael. Oh, my God. I loved Family Ties. No, not Michael J. Fox. J. Michael. Oh, America's Next Top Model. Is he the one on
The Good Wife? No, that's still Michael J. Fox.
J. Michael. Oh, no, that's J. Manuel. Oh. But still, America's Next Top Model, the one that's always like, ooh, wee. No, that's just Miss J. Alexander. Oh.
Mm. So she's like, open your eyes. Like, Leva, any energy at all? Can Leva have some tea, please? I mean, Jesus Christ. So she opens her eyes and she just starts, she sees that camera. She's like, oh my God, yeah. She's like, throws herself on the chessboard and starts writhing around. Like,
did we even get to see the photos that this guy shot, by the way?
No.
Were they just so bad? Or like, or he was just so embarrassed that he's like, I'm not releasing these to Bravo.
Yeah, I'm not doing these. So then, could you imagine? It's like the Walgreens photo section and Michael J. Fox comes in to pick up photos. He's like, oh my God, what the fuck is this?
It's Grace Lilly. where we're going, we don't even need Republic. So now Mia shows up and then like she starts telling them all that like she's just like she's in love with Owen and stuff. And TJ's like, yeah, well, I saw Owen at the gym and he's in love too. He also said Mikhail is the most unprofessional person who's ever walked into Republic, but that's just his words, not mine.
You know, I just really like Owen because he's the kind of person who wouldn't put bitch made on a sign and walk it past a bar. Trash. So Lev is like, okay, happy birthday. Hope your year's happy. Like, where you hope you thrive at work and all things are happy.
It was like the most generic toast. I think the actual quote was, I want this year to be a year where you're very, very happy. Yeah, just like be alive by the end of next year.
Hope you live to see 25. Bye. So then Will and Emmy are talking. Okay, so they're all at the table now, right? They're all sitting down. And Will's like, cheers, everybody. Do you know why people cheers in the old days? Because people would poison each other. So, like, when you cheers hard enough so that some of your drink spills into the other person's drink. And then so you're like, oh, I can trust you right now. Because if that person poisoned me, then I splashed my drink into their drink. So then we've, like, poisoned each other, which we're all basically doing right now, poisoning each other. Cheers.
I don't. There's like a lot to unpack here. First of all, you're poisoning each other with your stupidity. Okay, the stupidity has already poisoned all of you. Okay. So I don't know if that's true.
The tea? Is the tea spilled? And TJ's like, there's plenty of tea to go around. I'll tell you that right now. Trash tea.
And then like Joe gets up and like knocks over a chess piece. He's like, I'm Joey Marbles and I'm strong. So then Will turns to Mikkel and he's like, I think TJ has a crush on you. And Mikkel goes, wah, ha, ha, ha. He like laughs really loud. At least that way TJ will see him laughing and be like, what's he laughing about, little trash tea over there?
Yeah. And then Maddie's like, she's like, okay. I've got Elisa win a game because I'm the Mad Hatter. So on these cards, you're going to write a quote that somebody said. But then we have to guess who said it, okay? Because it's a tea party, baby. You get it? Okay, what's going to happen? You're all going to get a card. Those are these things that we play here. Yes, you.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, say it.
You actually look really hot in that hat.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Love you, too, as a friend. Can't wait to fuck. Oh, wait. Here's the first quote. Can't wait to fuck Trevor later. That was me. I win. I'm winning so far. One up. That's why I lead. Okay? That's why I lead.
I just get really turned on when women wear Mad Hatter hats. It's like why I jerked off so many times than four non-blondes, you know? So, remember music. Linda, what's her face? Linda Perry.
Music. Yeah, music.
I know about it. It's music.
I know about music.
Remember music? So, yeah, this is a ridiculous, real convoluted game. So the first quote that comes up is, it's Mia. She goes, okay, here's this one. I know this one's true because Will has dated many of my friends. Okay, here's the quote. Will has a huge dick. I think Emmy said that about Will, and Emmy wrote it.
Yeah, and Emmy's like, it's true, I did say it, but I didn't write it down. I don't know who would do that. And Mikkel's like, Will did it. Will, did you write that? Come on. And he's like, you confirmed it. Doesn't matter if I wrote it.
Well, I'm sorry that I submitted my my essay to Vanderbilt Law School into this game here, but there it is. Got a big dick.
The next quote Joey reads, Joey Marbles, is, he doesn't deserve to work at Republic. And Mikkel's like, that thirsty bitch wrote it. That thirsty bitch over there wrote it. And Will's like, who do you think wrote it? And what do you think it's about? Who do you think it's about? It's a new part of the game. Who wrote it? Who's it about? And TJ's like, well, I didn't write it, but definitely I said it.
Well, guess what? The answer's back here. It says, actually, it says Joyce Carol Oates. I didn't even know she was in our circle. That's crazy. Joyce Carol Oates is like, damn right I said that. Just because I'm a just because I'm a writer doesn't mean I don't have opinions.
Joyce Carol Oates. He doesn't deserve to work at Republic.
Joyce Carol Oates comes out with the sparklers saying happy birthday. She's like, by day, I'm an award-winning literature icon, but by night, I'm a VIP concierge at Republic.
I just need some social interaction, okay? So Joe's like, well, TJ said it. I mean, I don't know who he said it about, but he did say it. And Mikkel's like, oh, shut the fuck up. You know he said that about me. And Joe's like, well, I've said it before. But that was before working with you last night. So let's have a great night, guys, you know, because that's really toxic. What you just did was really fucking toxic too, sir. I hate all these fence riders. You know, you've got Joe. Like, yeah, I hated you too until 5 minutes ago. So let's just not be toxic, guys, okay? Let's just not. And Will walking around listening to all of fucking TJ's bullshit, but then going to whisper to Mikkel, like, yeah, I think he really secretly likes you. These fence riders.
Yeah.
Lame.
So Mikkel's like, oh my God, you guys are all so fake. Like, y'all want to go, like, talk behind closed doors, but then, like, you know, when things come to the table. And so TJ turns to me and goes, isn't it class? And Mikkel's like, what'd you say? He goes, I said, such class. And Mikkel goes, you know what? Keep my name out of your goddamn mouth, okay? I've been waiting 22 years to be able to say that. And finally, I'm on a reality show, and this is my moment. Keep my name out of your mouth.
Even though you didn't say my name, I'm still saying that. And TJ's like, trash. And so he's like, Lucy is like, well, why is TJ hating? TJ's just a nosy ass person. And Mikkel's yelling, you're a fake ass bitch. And you have so much to say. What's your actual problem with me? What is it? And he goes, you already know it. He goes, oh yeah, you're upset? Why? Because you're threatened? Are you threatened? What is your actual problem with me? Threatened?
Yeah, you're old as fuck and act like a child. And Grace is like, guys, why can't we all just drop it, okay? And Mikhail goes, no, I want to drop it, but stop talking to me. Keep my name out of your goddamn mouth, even though, yes, you did not say my name. You're a thirsty bitch, and you keep running your mouth about me, so shut up before I quench your damn thirst.
I was like, oh my God, what kind of threat is that? Like, you're going to give me, what are you going to bring me, like a lovely big gulp? It's like, yes, quench my thirst. Even trying to be mean and I still like him. I'm like, sounds delicious. So then Maddie's like, yeah, when Mikhail's acting like that, it's coming from a place of hurt and like needing a friend. So I just feel like TJ pushing his buttons isn't really that helpful right now. And Joe just goes, good luck working tonight, buddy.
Like, it's like this weird veiled threat. Like it's like, yeah, the Carrie thing again. Like, they're going to drop a bucket of pig's blood on him while he's out on the street trying to bring in Maude.
It does sound like that. Yes, it does sound like that. Like, oh, you have to see us at work tonight after you're having a fit right now. So good luck, buddy, after you messed with one of us.
Yeah, and maybe a banana peel under your foot. I think you're going to fall over. So good luck working when you're falling over on banana peels.
Well, I do have to say, it couldn't be Carrie because Carrie had much better aim. Because this guy. Okay, so he picks up a glass and he's trying to throw it at TJ, but it basically just hits Mia. Like, the whole thing goes all over Mia. You know, it's like terrible aim.
Okay? Yeah, he just like throws, there's a whole bunch of liquid, sort of sprays, and then he's like, don't play me, bitch. And then Grace goes, I have never had a birthday like this. And then Mikhail just storms off and is like, y'all shut the fuck up. You're fake as shit. And he just storms off. It's like, to be continued.
And that brings us to the end of Southern Hospitality.
There fun was. Times. Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And that next week, it looks like they're going on a little cash trip. I wonder if it's going to be like just like a 6-episode season. I feel like it kind of will be. 6 or 7
NASCAR,
episodes.
They're sticking with their Vanderpump Rules shit. NASCAR, the big NASCAR vacation. But hey, I'm here for it.
Yeah, super fun times. Everyone, thank you so much for being here. And we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bend with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.